ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दोषैरेतैः कुलघ्नानां वर्णसंकरकारकैः उत्साद्यन्ते जातिधर्मा कुलधर्माश्च शाश्वता उत्सन्नकुलधर्माणां मनुष्याणां जनार्दन नरके नियतं वासो भवतीत्यनुशुश्रुम। दोषैरेतैः कुलघ्नानां वर्णसंकरकारकैः उत्साद्यन्ते जातिधर्मा कुलधर्माश्च शाश्वता उत्सन्नकुलधर्माणां मनुष्याणां जनार्दन नरके नियतं वासो भवतीत्यनुशुश्रुम। वर्ड बाय वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। दोषै बाय सच फॉल्ट्स एतै ऑल दीज कुलघ्नानां ऑफ द डिस्ट्रॉयर्स ऑफ द फैमिली वर्णसंकरः ऑफ अनवांटेड चिल्ड्रन कारकै विच आर कॉजेस उत्साद्यन्ते आर डिवास्टेटेड जाति धर्मा कम्युनिटी प्रोजेक्ट्स कुल धर्मा फैमिली ट्रेडिशंस च आल्सो शाश्वता eternal. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Purport. Community projects for the four orders of human society combined with family welfare activities, as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma, are designed to enable the human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatana Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in the society. And consequently, people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. Such leaders are called blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. The next verse, O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those whose family traditions are destroyed dwell always in hell. Purport. Arjuna bases his argument not on his own personal experience but on what he has heard from the authorities. That is the way of receiving real knowledge. one can't reach the real point of factual knowledge without being helped by the right person who is already established in that knowledge. There is a system in the Varnashram institution by which before death one has to undergo the process of atonement for his sinful activities. One who is always engaged in sinful activities must utilize the process of atonement called prayaschit. Without doing so, one surely will be transferred to the hellish planets to undergo miserable lives as the result of sinful activities. Let us chant Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagan Raghunathamvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shakamscha. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So we are hearing from chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, and we are towards the end of the chapter, entitled Observing the Armies. Here, after coming to the battlefield, both parties are ready to fight. And before that, when Arjun looks at all the people who have assembled in that place, Kurukshetra, to fight, he is filled with grief. And he is thinking whether it's proper to fight or not. And he poses a number of arguments before Lord Krishna for not fighting. Starting from verse number 28, I think. 28. First he gives some arguments based on compassion. He feels compassionate on all these people who have come here to fight and they will die. So, it's usually it does not happen in a battlefield. One party never feels compassionate on the other party. They are there to fight. Rather, they always keep, they keep planning, what should I do to kill the other party. Rather, they will be filled with anger, revenge. But here we see a personality like Arjun who is filled with compassion. That shows that Arjun is not an ordinary warrior. He's not an ordinary person, because he is a great devotee of the Lord. Even though he is a Kshatriya, but in the core of the heart he has all devotional qualities. The heart is filled with compassion. Then after that he gives second set of arguments based on the result of fighting. Why do we fight? We fight to gain something, to either gain kingdom or gain some riches or gain more power, and then with that we hope we will enjoy. That is the reason for fighting. One kingdom or one country attacks the other country so that they will get more power, more control, maybe more money, and then with all those material resources they can enjoy. But Arjun is here thinking that after the battle, when the battle is over, everybody will be killed. So with whom I am going to enjoy? Even to enjoy, I need somebody. Right? If someone gives me $1,000,000, but says that you stay in a closed room, you cannot talk to anybody, you cannot associate with anyone, what kind of enjoyment will I will have with $1,000,000? Even to enjoy, I need somebody with whom I can talk, I can eat together, share things, then we enjoy. There is always relationship. So Arjuna is able to see that this is such a big war is about to take place where people from both sides will be killed. Then what kind of enjoyment I am going to have? And even if the people from other side are killed and my side are safe, still they are our people only. My grandfather is standing there. My acharyas, teachers are standing there. My brothers are, cousins are there. Mama is there. The father-in-law is there. The whole list of relationships are mentioned here. So all these people, when they are going to be killed, what kind of enjoyment I am going to have? I mean, even if I say I am victorious, at the cost of what? So he doesn't find any value or any sense in this fight. By killing our own members, our own family members who have nourished me, who have taken care of me, with whom I have lived, I have learnt, I have grown, I have received so much love, and I am going to kill them. What kind of victory is that? So he feels that this is not proper. So he gives the second set of arguments. Then third set of arguments he gives based on the nature of these activities. This kind of battle, killing our own relatives, brothers, sisters, is very sinful. It's very sinful. So why to engage in these sinful activities? It's not proper. That is third set of arguments. And the fourth set of arguments are here that we are reading today is that by this fight the whole family traditions will be destroyed, and that will lead to very black future. And he gives a picture also of the black future that Arjun is able to visualize. So that is where we are today. Hearing the fourth set of arguments that Arjuna is giving to Krishna for not fighting. And this is started 2 verses ago, so from verse number 39. And then we are here. In the previous verse, I will just read the translation so that we understand the connectivity. He says that, or I'll just summarize this fourth set of arguments. He says that, with the destruction of the dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished. And thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of the womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. This is the background, and then we are here today. So, the logic that Arjuna is giving is this, that when a dynasty is killed, like the older members of the dynasty are killed in any dynasty or a large family or in a society, suppose you have a society, all the old people or men, say above 30 years or above 40 years, they are all killed. Then what will happen? Because in that battlefield, lakhs of people are assembled. So if all elderly people are killed, then who is going to cultivate or who is going to impart the knowledge to the younger members of the family? Because there is a tradition in the family. There is a purpose of life and for which there are many systems in the family which are practiced by the older members, and they understand it and they transfer that to the younger generations. And so when the younger generation grows, they continue to follow and they transfer it to their younger generations. And in this way, the cycle goes on. Now if all older people are killed, then people will not understand the purpose of life. There will be nobody to teach them, nobody to guide them. Then they will involve in irreligion. Irreligion means living a life without following any rules and regulations, without having a purpose according to scriptures. So, there will be no one to protect the younger generation, nobody to guide the younger generation. So, younger generation will involve in irreligion, and because of irreligion, when irreligion is prominent, the young men and young women, they will mix in an uncontrolled way, and the womanhood will get polluted. And that we see in today's world. Not because the older generation is all killed, the older generation is still there, but actually they are killed in a sense that they do not follow the spiritual traditions, so they are not able to transfer that understanding. So physically they are alive, but in essence they are dead. And that is why the older generation is unable to guide. I mean, exceptions are there, but barring the exception, I am talking about the majority. They are unable to guide the younger generation properly. So we see so many unwanted news we hear, and in the current world, so much of exposure to undesirable things, polluting the mind too much into sensuous things, and that leads to the pollution of the heart. And when people start living at this level, then the kind of generation, the children that are born, they are called Varnasankara. Varnasankara means not falling into any of the varnas of the society. Varnashram dharma is made. There are four varnas and four ashrams. But the kind of souls that come, they are very low class. Means having very low consciousness. And when such kind of generation becomes prominent, then they create hell for the older generation. Older generation is troubled. And also the forefathers who have left, they also do not get any benefit, because there was a system in our Vedic scriptures where after someone has left, their descendants will offer pindadan. We hear na? Pinda and jal, certain things they offer, and that benefits those souls who have left, this world, but may not have attained the spiritual world, but they are somewhere. Because of their karma, they are somewhere. So it's the duty of the younger generation, the descendants, to make these offerings of pinda and pinda. What the word is there? Lupta pinda udaka kriya. Pinda means food and udaka means water. Offering of some food and water to the forefathers, this tradition has been there in our system. That is to benefit our forefathers who have who may be somewhere in the creation because of their karma. So that helps them to get a good birth. They get benefited. Especially if we offer them Krishna Prasad, they get benefited. We chant for them, they get benefited. This system is destroyed. So forefathers also suffer, and the existing older generation also suffers. Because of the new generation, which is completely misguided and is very low class. So that is what has been mentioned till the previous verse. Now here, doshaire taihi kulaghnanam, today's verse, because of all these faults, dosha means faults, that discussed so far, of the kulaghnanam, those who destroy the family traditions, kulaghnanam, all those who destroy the family traditions, what happens? Varna sankar karakai. That gives rise to varna sankar population. And what is the result of that? Utsadyante. Utsadyante means devastated or destroyed. What gets destroyed? Jati dharma, kula dharma ascha. Jati dharma and kula dharma. Jati dharma is the community, what does it say? Community projects. And kula dharma is family traditions. In essence, this means the duties according to varnashram system. That's what is the meaning of jati dharma and kula dharma. In our society, we had varnashram system. There are four orders and four ashrams: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And according to them, there are some dharma prescribed dharma for each one of them. So this jati dharma and kula dharma, which refers to varnashram dharma or sanatan dharma, it gets completely devastated. Shashvata, eternal. It gets devastated. So the whole purpose of our life here, it becomes meaningless. If we are living without a purpose, varnashram dharma is meant to give a meaning to life. It's meant to direct people towards a goal. And the goal is to attain the eternal shelter of the Lord, Vishnu. There are so many rules, regulations in our scriptures according to each varna and ashram, so that people have their gradual progress towards the ultimate goal of life. And when this whole varnashram dharma is broken, then it's a chaos, as Prabhupada writes in the purport. And that's what we see today. Because varnashram system has been broken. It has been broken. People do not understand what is the goal of life, so everyone creates their own goal according to their mental concoctions. That, okay, I think this is my goal, I think that is my goal. Everyone has their own independent, individual goals, which keeps changing now and then. There is no sense of ultimate goal of life. There may be short-term goals, but when Varnashram Dharma is there, then everybody has a higher sense of life, higher goal of life. And everything else is meant to be channelized in that direction. Then the whole life is meaningful. So, so given the current situation where the Varnashram Dharma is very much broken and the unwanted population keeps increasing, that next verse tells, Utsanna kula dharmanam manushyanam janardana narake niyatam vaso bhavati tyanushushruma. Utsanna kula dharmanam. This kula dharma gets spoiled, destroyed. Then what happens? Narake niyatam vaso. All these human beings, they will fall into hell. Hell is condition. Narake niyatam vaso bhavati. This will happen. And Arjuna is saying, Anushushruma. He is not giving his opinion. Rather, he is saying, I have heard this from right source. So this is not Arjuna's opinion. This is according to scriptures, he is telling. Nowadays, people tell, okay, I think this is there. I think Krishna is probably not speaking right here. People give even such kind of opinions. I think Arjuna did not do it correctly. People give their own opinions. Our own opinions have got no meaning. We need to hear the opinion of Krishna. We need to learn the opinions from the Shastras. So Arjuna is not saying that this is whatever reason I am giving is my opinion. Rather, this is the opinion of the Shastras which I have heard. Anushushruma. In parampara system, I have heard this. I have been taught like that. So he is reasoning based on what he has learnt in that proper tradition, and he is telling that this is what I have learnt. Based on this, this is what I am able to see. I am able to see, and I am putting it before you. Anushushruma. Krishna's opinion is important. My opinion is not important. Even Prabhupada, people will give sometimes different opinion. Prabhupada would say, what is the value of your opinion? And he will also say, what is the value of even my opinion? So neither your opinion is important nor my opinion is important. It is Krishna's opinion, Shastra's opinion is important. That is what we need to understand. Krishna gives his opinion in so many places in Shastra. Mama Mata, Krishna tells, Yoginam api sarve sham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yo mam teme yukta tamo mataha. This is my opinion. Krishna gives his opinion. So we have to hear his opinion. So, here it says, Arjuna bases his argument not on his own personal experience but on what he has heard from the authorities. That is the way of receiving knowledge, real knowledge. One can't reach the real point of actual knowledge without being helped by the right person who is already established in that knowledge. There is a system in the Varnashrama institution by which before death one has to go. So about the atonement and prayaschitta. So the whole system of the Varnashram Dharma, whole system is actually the process of purification. The whole Varnashram system is designed in such a way that the consciousness of the soul gets purified as one progresses. And if one happens to commit some sinful activities, then there is a process of atonement so that one can follow and atone for it and get relieved from the sinful reactions. All that is designed nicely so that people progress in their consciousness. And when that is not there, this Varnashram Dharma is not there, it is very difficult. Very difficult. People do whatever they like. There is no control over anything. There is no clear direction. The whole society is completely misdirected. There is no clear direction in which one need to go. Especially the younger generation is completely bewildered. There is no clarity. So in this situation it becomes very difficult. So this is the argument Arjuna is giving, that if the family, you see the argument, the family, older people are killed, all men are killed, then women will indulge in unwanted activities, and that may give birth to unwanted population, and that population, because they are not so good souls, they will stop following the tradition of offering, taking care of forefathers, taking care of elder people. The whole family tradition will be destroyed and everything will be destroyed after that. Everything will collapse, he said, devastated. So then why should I fight? Because if I fight, then this will happen. This is what Arjuna is giving, the reason. So of course, after that, when Krishna answers this question, he gives a higher understanding of the purpose of this war. So Arjuna is giving all these reasons at a normal platform. That at that level it is fine. But when Krishna is involved, then all these things will not happen. Because this war was planned by Krishna. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wants the war to take place, then all these things will not be valid. Because dharma also is something like, there is one dharma at one level, then there is something that supersedes at a higher level, then there is something that supersedes. So for a higher principle of religion, the lower principle can be compromised. So when it comes to following the instruction of Krishna and serving Krishna, sometimes lower principles can be compromised. They can be compromised only for a higher cause. Then Krishna takes care of everything. And there is an example given here also in the previous verse, that this system of offering pinda and water and other things to the forefathers, actually in this life we become indebted to so many people. There are 5-6 kinds of debts that we incur in this life. One is to demigods, to the king, to the rishis or sages, to our forefathers, to other living entities. They are called Devarin, Bhutarin, all this there. So in order to get rid of all these things, there are systems in our Varnashram Dharma. For example, see, we are getting light from the sun, we are getting water from the nature, from the rain. They are all being provided by demigods. So we are indebted to them. So that is called Devarind. We have rind to the devatas. We are being taken care of by the king, whoever is the king. He takes care of the citizens. So we have, we are indebted to them. Because we are born in certain family, so we inherit so many things from our forefathers. We inherit wealth, we inherit the knowledge, the traditions in the family, so many things we inherit, so we are indebted to them. We are indebted to so many other living entities, like cows, so many living entities, plants, they give so much for our maintenance. We are indebted to them. So that is why there are processes prescribed in our scriptures to do some yajna, some things to give, to offer in return to them, to get rid of these rents. But at a higher level, if someone becomes a surrendered devotee of the Lord, then one is already freed from all these debts. Then one doesn't have to do all these things. Though one may do, there is no harm, but one is already freed, and one should do. One should not take the excuse that I have become a devotee now, so I don't need to take care of my parents, I don't need to give taxes to the country, they will put you in jail. Well, we don't need to take care of animals. We don't need to take. Because I have become a devotee now, so Krishna will take care. This kind of understanding is not right. Even in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there are certain activities that should never be given up, even by a self-realized soul. Even if one is very advanced, one should still continue to do certain activities like yajna, dana, tapaha, the charity, sacrifice, austerity. These things should never be given up. So, within our capacity, we should try to follow all these things as best as possible. But at the same time, a devotee who is fully surrendered to Krishna, he is freed from all these things. This verse has been quoted here. Devarshi bhutapta niranam pitrinam na kinkaro nayam rini charajan sarvatmanayah sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihrityakartam. Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, vows neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, and forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by the performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So someone who takes full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he is released from all these debts. But while we are practicing, we should continue to follow all these traditions as much as possible. But at the same time, not get too involved in the rituals that we forget the main goal of life, which is the devotional service. We should not get involved in these karmakanda rituals at the cost of our devotional service. But whatever is possible to do, like definitely taking care of parents, following all the rules of the society where we live, whatever rules are there in the society, we should follow it properly. Perform our duties nicely. If we are in our grihastha ashram, the duties of grihastha ashram should be nicely performed. Brahmachari, vanaprastha, whatever, wherever we are, we must follow. So it's a great duty on all of us to practice these things, preserve these traditions, and pass it on. Pass it on to the next generation. That's what the lesson here. If we do not pass it on, then next generation is not going to get it. Then that's a big damage that happens in the society. So Srila Prabhupada has set up very nice traditions in our society. And we see it is being continued, being passed on from one generation. Now we have 3-4 generations have come. The same system, same traditions are being passed on. So it's very important that not only we practice it, but rather we must practice, preserve it, and make every effort to pass it on to the next generation and make them understand the value of it, so that the tradition continues. Because when some system, some tradition is there, then whoever comes in that system will be benefited. System should exist. I will exist, I will go. For some time I am here, I will not be here. You are all here, after some time you all will not be here. So many people have come and gone. But if a system is there, then whoever people will come in that system, and they will be benefited. Because that system, that tradition is there. So this varnashram system was there for so many years. So many years. Even a lot of damage actually has happened over the last 25-30 years, especially in India. Foreign countries, so this system has not been there. But in our India, it has deteriorated slowly and slowly, but the rate of deterioration is very high, very sharp decline in the past few years. 20-30 years. Even till the time when Srila Prabhupada was there, there was still a lot of culture. There was a lot of culture. How people had naturally faith, and they were not so sinful. Many people were vegetarian in those days. They had respect for cows. Now all those traditions are gone. Because at that time the agriculture used to happen with the bulls. The cows were there in the villages. Now you go to villages, the situation is very different. So these traditions are being broken by all this propaganda of the modern world. So all these traditions need to be preserved. It's very important that they should be preserved. So whatever we can do in our capacity, we should try to propagate this message of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Prabhupada, from the Bhagavad Gita, so that these traditions are preserved and the generations after generation, they can come and get benefited. So I think I can end here. Thank you very much. If any questions or any comments, yes. So Prabhuji's question is, I'll just repeat it for those who may not have heard, that in our generation, Prabhuji is saying, that we never questioned the traditions that we had, whatever parents told, forefathers told, all those, we just followed. But now the younger generation, they question. Why this should be done? Why this should be done? What is the need of this? What is the use of this? So how to answer that? That is the question. So one thing is, we have to understand, because the tradition has been broken, so the generation that is coming up, they are not having that faith. That is Varna Sankara, to some degree. Earlier, because people were following the system, the generation that was coming up, they were faithful. They already, those souls had some piety. See, that's what is the effect. So, number one. Now, second thing is, when they are asking something, they need to be properly explained. So, for that, we need to know why we are following some things. Now, we may be following some things because of our faith, but not with proper reasoning. Now, if I tell that, they may not accept because they do not have that faith. So, in those cases, they need to be given proper justification, proper reasoning. Because in order to start practicing, they need some logic. Later on, when they practice, they see some change in their consciousness, they experience that, then they may develop that faith. Then they may not need the support of logic to continue. But initially, if generation are those people who are not having any taste for this kind of tradition, they need a justification, they need a reasoning to start, because that is the world today. So, a number of things can be given, a loving reciprocation with them, where they experience, see, everyone is ultimately looking for a loving relationship where they can experience some happiness. Even though the new generation may be whatever they are, but they also want happiness in their life. So if devotees interact with them in a nice way, try to understand their situation and explain to them, those who can, not everybody can explain in a very nice logical manner, but whatever we can, and if we, and certain things, if we are having difficulty, then we should find out and explain, or take them to someone who can explain, so that they get some clarity. And that has happened. We have seen in the youth preaching and many younger generation devotees, initially they are explained with logic and reasoning and all that. So they understand, yes, this. And then they start following. Once they start following, coming to the temple, associating, then they develop some sukriti. get some sukriti, and then after that Krishna takes care. So this is how it need to be done. So first we need to understand, of course, one is by faith we follow, but also as best as possible, because there is a reason for everything. Whatever Krishna says, everything, there is a reason, there is a logic. The principles of life will remain the same, no matter whether somebody believes it or not, no matter howsoever one gets polluted, the principles of life will remain the same. The death is a fact which will happen, whether we believe it, don't believe it, accept it or not accept it, disease will come, old age will come, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, that will come. The principles of the anarthas, the kama, krodha, lobha, moha, the way it has been explained, dhyayate vishayan punso sangaste shupajayate, that principle everybody can understand, that when we contemplate on some sense objects, attachment develops. From attachment, if that desire gets fulfilled, then lobha develops. If it doesn't get fulfilled, then krodha develops. From the krodha, then memory is bewildered. See, this sequence of things is very logical. Whether anyone accepts it or doesn't, it's everyone can understand that. That this is how it works. So there are so many phenomena in nature which are can be explained in a very logical manner. So we need to understand how to explain it to them, and we should pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence so that we can serve. Then Krishna will engage. Yes, Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Gopi. Yes. My question is in two parts. Part number one, what happened to the family members, those soldiers who were killed from the both sides? Second, how their dead body were disposed of?
Okay. Well, it is said that, so the question I think everyone understands, right? Everyone heard it. Well, Krishna was present on the battlefield. So it is said that everyone on the battlefield got promoted to higher status of life. So either they would have gone to Swargaloka or somewhere, or some of them would have gone to Vaikuntha Loka. Just like Bhishma Dev, he left his body in a glorious way, the departure of Lord devotee Bhishma. He left in such a glorious departure. Krishna finally came at the end and he was present. So they have gone to, he's one of the Mahasanas. So it's difficult for me to say who went where, right? I cannot tell that. And nobody can tell that. That only Krishna knows where he has taken them. But we know, it is mentioned in our scriptures, that because they all had darshan of Krishna, and this battlefield was conducted under the direction of Krishna, so they all got the blessings of Krishna. Now, depends on what were their karmas, and other everybody will have different karmas. Accordingly, they will get their destination. But definitely, they went up to a higher level of life wherever they went, that much. And the bodies, how they were disposed, in those days there was a system. At the end of the battle, because battle will get over by evening time, and then there will be a set of people in each group who will have this duty. Like those times, these armies, they were arranged very nicely. There is a group of people who will supply the food. There are a group of people who will take care of the injuries, because during the day so much fight, so many will be injured. They need to be taken care of. So they will have all those arrangements in the evenings. They will have take care of all this. And there will be a group of people who will take care of the burial and funeral, whatever need to be done. More details I cannot provide, but this is what we can say, that this system was there. In those days, the armies were well organized, and for everything there was a provision. Whatever is the need, or where to get water, the food, everything is needed. Not only just taking care of the dead bodies, but where were they getting food from? Where were they getting water from? What about their clothes? What about their medicines? But all arrangements were there. They will have group of people who will take care of all those things. Yes. Yeah.
I came 3 days ago from London. I've been staying in Banki Bihari with my sister, and the one thing I wanted to come to what the gentleman there said was, for generations and generations we've had so many people being able to teach us things, and sometimes as young generation we genuinely look up to the older generation to give us not just a path but a sense of direction, so we're not always misleading, and even though we make our mistakes, we know that someone taught us to come back from what. Now, let's say if so many years of your life has gone by, and from a young age, your mind became in conflict of what was the material and what was the spiritual, was your internal. And as life went on, your older generation was setting the right path for you. So your mind became in conflict. As a Western woman, I mean, I was raised in Kabul, but as for someone who's followed her Nidhi and, you know, the basics of her scriptures everywhere, and someone who feels that, I mean, as a younger generation, I felt the need that I've had to sort of explain things to older generation above me. Why is it that I see ego in myself because I speak through logic and rationality to them because I've been a student all my life, whether that's of God or whether that's of education in this world? Why do I feel that when I have a sense of voice to speak up and say something, there is a sense of, excuse my words here, but there's a sense of ignorance in their sense of understanding. It's almost as if I would try my absolute best from the root branch, you know, from the root part, to understand where their divine knowledge is, because the one thing I know is not to disrespect someone that's older than me in their understanding. But what if I take the principle of understanding from them, but I'm not getting the same projection back when it should go through a circle of life? You know, what's coming around to you, you tell to other people and then they bring it back to you. What if you have, like you said, you know, this rational, logical way of fighting against things, if that internal manifestation is now bothering you so much that it's just chaos on both sides, how do you, not like how do you, because that's just the way of, that's what life will teach you, but how do you calm that down so that you can allow the older energy into you rather than allowing rationality to take over?
Okay, so in essence, I think the question is that there are a lot of questions arising in the mind, and how to handle that. We see a lot of conflicts in the kind of response we get from older generation, and what I perceive as what I have learned, there is nothing wrong in being rational. In fact, we must be rational. We must not accept anything which is irrational. And our teachings of Bhagavad Gita and scriptures is very much rational. Everything is very rational, very logical. Things have been presented in a nice way. Maybe we have not got the opportunity to understand in that way, or nobody has explained to me properly. But the teachings are very proper and very rational. So it means you need to approach someone who understands it in a very rational way and can explain it to you. That is approaching a bona fide spiritual master or some advanced devotee who can explain it to you properly. And then automatically, once the inquisitiveness is there, a lot of curiosity is there, when you get proper answers to your questions, automatically that will calm down. Curiosity cannot be calmed down just by suppressing it. You need proper answers to your questions and that will calm it down. So, you need to approach someone who can explain. So that means, then that will be a separate discussion, how to approach someone or how to find someone. But that is, in short, that is the answer. Definitely one thing I can tell is, you can definitely pray from the core of your heart to the Lord to provide you the guidance, so that He can help you meet someone and take you to the right person. Or sometimes Krishna can, if you sincerely pray, Krishna will help you find your answers on the pages of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Sometimes you have some question in mind and you find, you read something and you find, oh, here is the answer. It happens. And sometimes you meet someone who explains something in a way that sounds very logical to you, to certain questions. So that is what is needed. Rationality, there is nothing wrong, it's absolutely fine. And it's very good to be a rational person and seek a proper justifiable reasons for your queries. And our scriptures can provide all the answers. That I can say with confidence. Yeah. Okay.